Anyway, thank you for your prayers, and looking forward to the day. John 14. John 14 is where we'll be this morning, and we're continuing our lesson from last week and looking at the Spirit-filled life. Again, we're really trying to kind of connect the dots on what we've been doing the last several months, helping us to grow in the Lord. And so we've kind of made it all the way to just needing to study the Holy Spirit and the role of the Spirit in our lives. And I think this is really, we're going to look at some of this. We're going to get to the fruit of the Spirit, and we'll look at some of that in today's lesson. We're actually going to look at a little bit of it in this afternoon's lesson at 2. If we deny the Holy Spirit's role in our life, we won't have the fruit of the Spirit. Those things that the Bible tells us are the fruit of the Spirit, they come from the Spirit. And so if we want to be exhibiting those in our life, we want to have those things present in our life, it's through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so it's important as we grow in our Christian walk to understand that God's given us His Spirit for a reason. He's doing a work in us, constantly doing a work in us. And so that's kind of what we're getting to. So we had a lesson on how He saves us, how He draws us. And then when we respond to the Lord's calling, we're asking Him to save us through the belief in the gospel. Well, He saves us and He seals us. Again, it's that spiritual birth that Jesus talks about in John chapter number 3. But I said that's just the beginning of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. I mean, that's just one of the things that He does. He continues to work and continues the process with us as we grow in the Lord. So we're going to look at, did I tell you to go to John 14? Okay, so let's read John 14 and let's read verse 26. And then we're going to hold our place there, and then we're going to go back, look at another passage. But John 14, verse 26, it says this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So we're going to look kind of starting in the middle. Last week we looked at John 17, where Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." And so we're looking at how the Holy Spirit works to sanctify us. We're looking at this process that the Holy Spirit does to change us from what we are to what He wants us to be. And that is a process. It is lifelong. It's after salvation. It's after we're eternally placed in Christ. So it has nothing to do with our standing before God. It's our walk. It's what God's will is for our life after we are saved. And so the Spirit is, it's imperative that the Spirit is working in us if we are going to be sanctified. So we're going to look at this verse and some others this morning. Let's pray. Let's ask for the Lord's help in Sunday school. Lord, I'm thankful for those who are here this morning. I'm thankful for just health and healing. And so many have been sick in our midst, and others are still under the weather. Lord, we just pray for all that have been affected by all the viruses and things going around. And I'm just thankful, God, that, Lord, it just seems like everyone's getting a little bit of a cold, and after a few days, it's over. And so, Lord, I just pray You'd be with those who are still suffering from this. Help everyone to get well. And, Lord, we just pray for us that are here, that, Lord, You'd work in our hearts today, that You'd accomplish Your mission. That You have for Your word and for the Spirit today. Lord, speak to our hearts through Your word. We'll thank You for what You do. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so that verse that we read, John 14 and verse 26, it says a few different things about the Spirit. The Comforter, that's one of the things, it's His name, capital C, Comforter. So one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is comfort us. But then He says, He will teach you all things. And so that's kind of where we left off last week. So let me just catch you up. If you weren't here last week, we went through the first part of our notes here, and let's get to the point of where He teaches us. But we saw how the Holy Spirit reveals our sin. He searches and convicts, and then He teaches. So He reveals our sin. I made the example. I brought my reading glasses in here last week, and I made that example that, you know, when we put those things on, all of a sudden things become more clear in our life. And that's kind of what the Holy Spirit does is, We have to come to a place where we know that we are a sinner to be saved. You can't be saved until you first know that you need to be saved. And so we have to come to a place where we know that we're a sinner, but at that point, we don't really understand how maybe much of a sinner we are. Does that make sense? And I was thinking about this point just this morning. I was reading over the kind of the back part of our notes that I wasn't teaching today, and I thought, you know, it's kind of like this. Me and my wife, every now and then, will be like, "Oh, hey, that's that movie. We've seen that, you know." And maybe it's been like 15 years since we've seen that movie, and we put it in and we play it. And 5 minutes later, we're like looking at each other, like, "We can't watch this. This movie's awful. You know, how did we not see this 15 years ago?" Has anyone ever had that experience where it's like, "Oh, I used to watch that, or I used to listen to that, or what?" But you plug it in now, and it's like, "Oh no, how did we ever allow this?" And you know why? It's because it's called spiritual growth, and that's a good thing. What happens is you start, you know, your eyes begin to be open to more and more things, and it seems like there's less and less things that, at least in this world, that you can enjoy as a Christian. There's just less and less, because this world is not my home, and we're supposed to be, well, the word sanctified means set apart or made different than, or sanctified for a purpose, set aside. And so it's that idea of, you know, how does that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit, he's going to illuminate things in our lives. And apparently it never ends, because, you know, you kind of get rid of what we call like the big outward sins that kind of everyone knows is a sin. Yeah, those are going to be dealt with. But then the Lord really starts getting to your attitude, and he gets to your heart, and he starts pointing out things that are that need work. And so it's a process. It's like I said, it's the difference between looking in a mirror and looking in one of those like really magnified mirrors that are very scary to look into. Because you look and you're like, "Man, my face looks like the surface of the moon. There's something wrong," you know. And that's kind of how the Holy Spirit, he brings light to things that you didn't know were there in your life. And that's what we talked about with him searching and convicting. And then we just went to that the Holy Spirit teaches us. And that's what this verse says, that he'll teach us all things. And we'll look at this. He brings things to our remembrance. But before we move beyond the teaching part, just hold your Bible here, John 14. But look at 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians. And I'll show you why this is important. 1 Corinthians. And let's look at chapter 2. Why is it important to understand it's the Spirit that teaches us? Okay, let's go. Okay, look at chapter. So you're in 1 Corinthians. Look at chapter. You're in chapter 2, verse 1. But just glance back to verse 25 of chapter 1. Okay, verse 25 of chapter 1. "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man." I just want you to know there's a difference between worldly wisdom, okay, worldly intellect, and spiritual wisdom or godly wisdom. You understand there's a difference there. There's a whole lot of people on this earth who are intellectually very smart, right? That could, like, you know, like mathematicians do circles around us in the area of mathematics or whatever. People are, there's some brilliant people. I think about that all the time, about what God has allowed man to accomplish is amazing. You know, I was, we were in a store the other day, and a guy was showing me a watch, and he's like, "Yeah, on this watch," and he starts doing all this stuff. And I just, for a second, I thought, there's more power in that watch than man, that for a single person to, for a few hundred bucks, put on their wrist, there's more power in that watch technologically than man had in the world 50 years ago. It's just unbelievable. And I'm like, how? I don't understand. I mean, listen, I'm just telling you right now, I don't understand how I pick up this little box and I talk into it, and my voice, without you hearing it, goes across the air and comes into another little box in someone else's ear. I don't know how that works. I don't care, actually. I don't. Someone's going to come up to me later and be like, "Let me explain." No, listen, I don't care how that works. I'm okay with people being smarter than me. That's what I'm saying. There's a difference between worldly intellect and wisdom and spiritual wisdom. There's people who are very smart in this world, and they have a worldly intellect. And by the way, nothing wrong with being smart or having intellect or excelling in some area, unless that blinds us to the truth that comes from the Holy Spirit. Okay, because the things that, what it says there in verse 25 is, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So God has a wisdom that is just on a different plane. Okay, the foolishness of God is wiser than man. Well, how do we tap into that wisdom? Well, in this world, it won't be called wisdom at all. It's called foolishness. But I'll tell you this, it's by having spiritual wisdom, by being wise in the Spirit. So now look at chapter 2. And I want to read like the whole chapter, but we're going to go down to verse, let's go to verse 10, okay? 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So, what has he revealed to us? Go back to verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, etc. So he's saying that this spiritual wisdom that that God has revealed to us, how has he revealed to us? Well, by the Spirit. We learn it by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, verse 10, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Have you ever been talking to someone about something spiritual that seems so simple to you, and they just don't get it? And you're going, how do they not understand this simple thing? You know why? Because the Spirit has revealed it to you and made it clear to you. There's this very powerful thing when the Word of God and the Spirit of God are allowed to direct our path. When we're able to take God's word and read what it says, and the Spirit then gives us understanding, it's a very, very powerful thing. It's like having a map and a compass. The Holy Spirit, of course, being the guide, the compass, and the Bible being the map. And that's what he's talking about. Some of these things are spiritually discerned. Now look to verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So I could spend some time and say, you know, we could really kick rocks at the natural man right now. He can't understand. But here, let's look at the opposite. We have the ability then to understand the things of the Lord. And that's really where I want to focus is, it would be a problem for a Christian to not be understanding the things of the Lord and not have spiritual discernment and spiritual insight and knowledge that comes from the Lord. Because if you're truly saved, you have the Word of God and you have the Holy Spirit, there's no excuse not to understand the things of the Lord. And so he teaches us, all right? So the Holy Spirit teaches us. Now we'll move on to our next point. The Holy Spirit enables our sanctification. So, some of this is kind of negative. You know, you think the Holy Spirit, when we think of the Holy Spirit conviction, do we typically think positive or negative? Negative? Yeah, negative, right? Oh, I should, you know, there's Holy Spirit conviction that is negative. You shouldn't, this shouldn't be going on in your life. You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't have said that, you know. But I want to tell you this. And I'm not denying that. That's a thing. That's something that God does. Whom he loveth, he chasteneth, right? We understand that. But it's not all negative. The Holy Spirit wants to help us as well. He wants to guide us into truth. So he enables our sanctification. One of the ways he does this is he reminds us. And again, a verse that we read there, if you held your place in John 14, look at verse 26 again. It says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And so just consider that phrase that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. Next week, we have our children's program here. I'm looking forward to it. And one of the things I love about children's programs is they're never perfect. You know, let's just get that out of the way, okay? Our kids aren't perfect. And so, you know, there's the other day, my mom posted something on, I think she posted on Facebook, or maybe she just sent it to me. Everything's a blur sometimes. But it was about my son. He was probably, I don't know, he's about that tall, so I don't know how old he was. But he was pretty young, just knowing the church we were in and everything. He was pretty young, and it was a Christmas program. And I mean, he was doing everything but what he was supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be singing songs. Well, he was singing songs, but then he gets to looking at other people, and he's messing with them. Then he gets to messing with the microphone. And then he's over here, he's grabbing the handrail, and then he gets up on the step behind him, and he's just right, the girl that's standing there is like, "What are you doing? Why are you standing in my spot?" And she eventually kind of shoves him off of the step. And that's all part of the Christmas program experience. There's going to be, and maybe it won't happen next week. Maybe everyone will remember their lines, but you've all been there where there's a kid standing there and he's supposed to say, "There is no room." And for whatever reason, he can't remember. He's the innkeeper, right? So he's just, and he can't remember his lines. And so he's standing there, and there's always a sweet lady on the front row going, "You know," or she's just trying to remind him of what he's supposed to be doing in the moment. And that's this idea of, well, I'll tell you this, in my life, there's some times I've forgotten my lines. There's some times that I've just thought, you know, I needed the Holy Spirit's reminder in my life. I could recall examples from really my whole Christian walk. But me and my wife this week were just talking about the aspect of having joy, and we talked about it several times. But because I'm preaching this afternoon is about having full joy, and then my next several sermons on Sunday afternoons are going to be about having joy. Why? What steals our joy? You know why? And so I've just had joy in my mind. And you know, even when we lose our joy, it's like the Spirit has to come and say, "Hey, you realize I give you joy? It's not something that's circumstantial. It's not something you got to give up." And he just whispers in your ear, no, you can be joyful. So there's the Spirit reminds us at times what we need to be doing, what we don't need to be doing. It's how he guides our steps. This helps me a lot because I am one that if you get to know me, well, I have good friends who dislike me because I am this way and they're not. I run by checklists and calendars and reminders and notepads. Even when I was in, I think it was when I was in college, I should have brought one in here. I used to carry, you know, those little memo notebooks that are about this big and this wide. I used to carry one of those in my back pocket and I called it my brain. And anytime my wife needed something, I was like, "Let me write it in my brain." And I would write it down. Why do I do that? Because I will absolutely forget what you just told me. I'm one of those that I'll be shaking hands with a person and they'll say, "Hi, my name is so-and-so." And I just heard them say it. And then the whole rest of the conversation, I'm shaking their hand and I'm going, "No, what was their name? What did they just say?" And I mean, it's not personal. I want you to know, if I call you by the wrong name, it's just, I don't know. I need help. I need reminders. And so I schedule out my month. I schedule out my day. I have a planner. I have a to-do list. I have the to-do list in an order of priority so that I know what to work on first and next. And it's just, I'm just that way. I understand the need for those reminders. And I consult those reminders all the time to keep me on track. Well, the Holy Spirit does that. He prompts us and he gives us reminders as we need them. Very, very many, or quite a few times, and maybe you have this So I've got to preface this by, if you're not in God's Word regularly, which we've covered many, many a times, but if you're not in God's Word regularly, what is He going to remind you of? That's a good thing to think about, right? Because what the Spirit is going to do, it's kind of like what Jesus said. Jesus said, I speak the things that are of the Father. And He said when He sends the Holy Spirit is going to speak the things of the Father. So what does He remind us of? Well, He reminds us of the truth of His Word. When you think about the Holy Spirit's reminders, whether it be a point of conviction, you shouldn't do this, or a point of encouragement, or whatever it is, you can trace it back to some truth you've learned in the Scripture. So again, if I'm not consistent in God's Word, then and it's Thursday, and I'm having a bad day at work, and I need the Holy Spirit to help me, what is He going to remind me of if I haven't been faithful to God's Word? And I don't know about you, but I just told you, my memory is such that if I wasn't in the Word this morning, yesterday, recently, I just know my brain power. He's not going to recall something I read back in 1994. Does that make sense? And so He expects us to have a consistent time in His Word, learning of Him, the Spirit teaching us in those times, so that when we get to points where He needs to give us a reminder, well, He's able to remind us of things that we have learned. And I've been in a lot of situations where maybe you're witnessing to someone and you think, man, I don't know what to say. You've probably had this experience where you went into some conversation, maybe about the gospel or whatever, and you go, I don't know what to say, and the Lord gave you the words. And you leave the conversation and you go, you know, where did all that stuff come from? That was good. You know, I should write that down. You know, it came from the Holy Spirit and Him reminding you. There's also been times where maybe you're going through a trial, but you're going through the trial in fellowship with Christ, so you're close to the Lord. I'm telling you, He floods your mind with reminders. He floods your mind with those verses that say, but our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh a far more exceeding weight. You know, that's just like, if you don't have that verse in your mind, how's He going to remind you of it? But when you're going through a trial, all of a sudden, just He floods your heart with Scripture. He floods your heart with, oh no, I love you. Oh no, I'm there. I'm with you in this battle. We need that. Let me say it like this too. When we walk away from the Lord, out of His light and into darkness, He floods our mind with reminders. Right? Abstain from all appearance of evil. You know? So when I'm counseling someone who's dealing with a besetting sin, okay, whatever the sin is, and we don't have to pick on any, you want to feel like I'm picking on this or that. So just whatever it is, you know, as a preacher, all I can do is point you to the Scripture. That's my whole job. I point you to the Scripture. And so what I'll tell people is you need to memorize these verses. You need to memorize these Scriptures because this will allow the Holy Spirit to remind you of those verses in the time that you need them. And so when we're dealing with something like that, we're dealing with sin, we're dealing with trouble, God can remind us if we have spent the time in the Scriptures. So again, it's imperative not just to think, well, I haven't read my Bible for a month, but the Holy Spirit will give me what I need. Okay, if we've denied obedience to the Scriptures for a month, do you really think in that moment the Holy Spirit's going to be able? I mean, He probably is. He probably is trying to give you what you need, but do you think He's going to be able? It's very unlikely. So the Holy Spirit reminds us, and it's not all negative. I want this to be clear. There have been times as a pastor, and even before I was a pastor, where I would just get a text, I would get a note, I would get a letter. Someone's just saying, hey, thinking about you today, praying for you. And they didn't know what was going on that day, but man, I needed that. I had a friend, this was just a few weeks ago, and he texted me something, and he it was just out of the blue. I hadn't talked to him in probably 2 months. And so out of the blue, he texted me something. I think it was a verse and then some little word of encouragement. And it was just so timely, you know, like that was what I needed to hear. I needed to read that verse and needed to hear this friend say that. And I thought, well, isn't that neat? How did he know? You don't think he had a prompting of the Holy Spirit? He's reading his Bible, he's praying, and somehow or another, the Holy Spirit tells him, hey, you need to text that knucklehead and tell him this. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit reminds us of these things. All right, let's keep moving. The Holy Spirit enlightens us. Now, this isn't like the enlightenment the world talks about, right? We're not going to go get up on top of some peak and sit there in some weird position and begin levitating and, you know, figuring out some point of enlightenment. That's all a bunch of nonsense. But God does enlighten us to the truth through the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I don't know everything. Oh, maybe you do. There's this thing in, like, you've always heard this, or I've always heard this, when there's an argument, there's two sides to every story. Well, what I've learned is there's usually about five sides. But the truth is there's sides to the story, but then there's the truth, okay? And so you don't always know all of the truth, okay? You don't always know all the sides. We have blind spots in our lives. I'll tell you this too. Sometimes we have attitudes in our lives that we don't even see ourselves. We don't even understand we are that way or whatever. And sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit pointing out, and it's never fun. Sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit through His Word, through godly counsel, through prayer, all these different things, through our wife, you know, whatever. I always joke about to my wife, I already have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do that. You know, you need help hearing Him, right? She's going, pulling my ears. But the Holy Spirit enlightens us. He lets us see what we can't see. And that's such a good thing because we don't always know. We don't always know what's going on. It's like back in, I guess it was in 2007, because it was when Obama was candidating. A friend of mine put an Obama sticker on another friend of mine's car, you know, just as a joke. And of course, me being a good friend, I didn't tell him. And man, he drove around for a good while without seeing that. And then someone finally pointed out to him, you know, hey, do you know this is here? It's like, no, I never look over there on my car. I didn't, you know. And that's a blind spot, right? We don't, it's just God, He points things out to us that we need to know. You may look at some believer, and I'm going to read a couple things that are written here. And so Paul Chappell said this, but he said, to the undiscerning viewer, people who hear and listen to the Holy Spirit often just appear to be lucky. They seem to make right choices more often. They seem to see risk or danger before others see it. They understand things and connect dots that others entirely miss. In reality, the Holy Spirit is not a good luck charm or some mystical power, but in a very practical and unassuming way, He turns the lights on for us and brings us into those aha moments. And so when He says, and we've read John 14, now go over to John 16. We read this last week, but look at John 16. Verse 13 here. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean I know the future. You know, I know the future that God's given me in His Word. I know, like, the prophetical future that He's given me. But I can't tell you what is going to happen tomorrow or who's going to win the game today. That's not what this is talking about. The Spirit will show you things to come. But what it's saying is he enlightens you to truth along the way. He shows us what we need to know to live the Christian life. So how does he do that? Well, again, through conviction, through remembering those biblical principles, and just confirming those things in our heart. So the Holy Spirit reminds us, enlightens us. He produces growth. I'll read these verses. You know them, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Those things that I just read, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, those are not worldly attributes. In fact, I would argue that the world cannot even understand or practice those attributes because they come from the Spirit. They're called the fruit of the Spirit. You understand this? The world's love is not the same as God's love. They claim to understand love. They have a definition of love. But what I've found is that their love is very much circumstantial. It's very much, I won't get into their love. It's different. It's not the same as God's love. Why can't they understand God's love? They don't know God. They don't have the Spirit of God. Peace. You can't have peace, really, true peace, without the Holy Spirit. So these are things that come from the Lord. They come through spiritual growth. I'm going to talk about this in the afternoon service, so I'm not going to spoil it all here, but you understand the fruit is the last thing you get from the tree. You should think about that. Fruit is the last thing you get from the tree. It's not the first thing. It's not automatic either if you're any kind of gardener like me. You can do a whole lot of work and not get any fruit is what I'm saying. We'll talk about that more. That was a little preview of this afternoon's message. Let's look at letter D. We'll kind of wrap this up. The Holy Spirit produces holiness. Now, holiness, believe it or not, is not a bad word. In our society today, people want to get away from the term holiness. Holiness, it just means set apart or separated unto God. That's all it means. It just means sanctified or other than or different. If we're going to be Christ-like, we're going to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So holiness, now again, people think holiness, they think of like, you know, some guy wearing a weird hat, you know, kind of sitting up on a big throne somewhere. Like the arrogance and the piety and, oh, you're holier than thou, you know, that kind of holiness. The other way people think about holiness is the charismatic realm. They've got the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and so they're doing all this stuff. Both of those are false. Holiness is something that happens when we follow Christ, and he begins to produce growth in us, and he begins to illuminate sin, and he begins to change our walk and make us closer to him. As we get closer to him, holiness is what is produced. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about a good, you know, Wyoming example of holiness. And so I thought about shooting guns. It's just Wyoming, the next thing I think is guns. I don't know why. And it's like if you take a rifle, though, and you just throw a scope on there and you go shoot it, you're going to miss because it's not tuned. It's not sighted in. And so there's a process of getting that thing true, where it shoots right on that crosshair where you want it, sighting it in, getting it usable in the hands of the hunter. Holiness. It's just like, I'm going to be tuned, I'm going to be sighted in to the Lord. And it's a process that takes a lot longer than sighting in a rifle, but the Lord works on us. Now, does that mean, so holiness would also mean purity from sin. Purity from sin. We can't live a life of sin and consider ourselves holy. So will we ever sort of arrive at this point where we're sinless? Trick question, right? Yeah, when we meet Christ. Until then, though, we're going to deal with sin. So here's how I believe the Bible would describe holiness in this process of getting closer to the Lord. I didn't include it here, but I believe it would be being aware of sin, dealing with sin, and avoiding sin. That's the process. Being aware of sin, and that's the Holy Spirit's work in us, showing us where we need to do better, need to do right. Then when we're aware of it, we deal with it. I talked about last week, so much of the Holy Spirit is how we respond to Him. If we reject His voice, it gets harder to hear Him. It gets easier to reject His voice. If we conform our life to Him, if we acknowledge what He is speaking to us and we deal with our sin, our heart becomes softer toward Him. So much of how we understand the Spirit is, well, are we in obedience to Him or are we rejecting Him? And again, another lesson, we'll talk about what it means to grieve Him and all that sort of thing. But we need to be aware of sin, deal with our sin, and avoid sin. That's this process. And as the Lord leads us, we're going to get closer to the Lord, and it's the fruit is holiness. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes dark, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So we got January 1st coming up, and everyone, you know, for the most part, always has things that they want to change. And, you know, New Year's resolutions, turn over a new leaf. And how many of us, just to be honest, have started one of those and then quit it before January was over? All right, good. I have. I'm not a member of a gym, but I used to be. And it's funny, in January 1, you can't even get in the door. But if you wait about 2 weeks, it goes back to normal. And you're like, oh, okay. Again, I'm not a member now, but I used to be, and I remember thinking how funny that was. Everyone knows they need to change. You know, you can make a list, and I don't think it's a bad thing to come to the end of the year and go, "How'd that go? Oh, not so well. Let me make some adjustments for next year." I don't think that's a bad thing. But listen to what Paul's told the Galatian church. "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" Listen to what Paul told the Philippian church. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ." What makes us think that we're going to be the ones that make that change? That I can turn over a new leaf and just like try harder and do better? It's all about, you want to see change in your life? Submit to the Holy Spirit daily. He'll start doing that work. He'll start making those changes. But you have to cooperate with Him. When He says don't, you don't. When He says do, you do. And what ends up happening is change happens that you can't change. That you can't be, you're cooperating. You're obedient. He does the changing. And so we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work. So He enables our sanctification. We'll stop there for the morning, and we'll actually not get back to this until probably next year, because it's got some other things going on in the next few weeks. And so we'll stop there for this morning. Appreciate your attention. Lord, we are thankful for your Holy Spirit that you've given us. I pray that we would be, Lord, sensitive to His leading, His convicting, His instruction, His encouragement. Lord, that we would be moment by moment yielding ourselves to His plan, because I just know that's how you bring about change and growth in our lives. I pray that you'd bless our day. Help us as we go into the morning service. Be with everything that happens today, Lord. May you get all the honor and praise for it. Well, thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.